So, we are looking at the Sermon on the Mount, which starts in Matthew 5 and goes through Matthew 7. Right now, we're on Matthew 5, verse 13 through 20. And I've called this Fulfilling the Law, because my little question was, what did Jesus change about the law? And it says in here, he didn't change anything. What he did was he fulfilled it. So, Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Don't assume that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I assure you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all things are accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches people to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to learn from it and help us to follow it. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we said last week, Sermon on the Mount is the first major sermon that Jesus made after he kind of revealed himself to everybody. He'd been just talking and walking about and so on, and people were starting to congregate around him, and he came to the point of saying, okay, I'm beginning to get such a following that it's being noticed. I need to lay down what it is that I'm here for. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. So he says that the people are like salt and light. We actually had a Harley Owners Group meeting, a Halloween party one year, and Pat and I went as salt and light. We had t-shirts that had, I think I was salt and Pat was light. It may have been the other way, I'm not sure, but... And everybody goes, what are you doing? And we said, we're salt and light. That's what we're here for. We're salt and light. Now, salt makes people thirsty. So they're thirsty for the gospel. They see their need for something. If you eat something that's very salty, even if it's like one of the little potato chips or something like that, you're going to want water or some drink, because that saltiness builds up. And you, well, we're being salty. We're letting people know you need the gospel. And then we're ready to tell it to them. It's also a preservative. Salt is. It preserves things. We used to pack pork in salt, and they called it, strangely enough, salt pork. But with all that salt all around it, the pork did not get molded and everything, because the salt kept it out. It preserved it. I have seen, growing up in Kentucky, I have seen hams that were packed in salt and then smoked continuously. And they're very good. That's why I like ham so much. But... Now, when it says, if it loses its flavor, what they're talking about is that salt was also used to be put under an oven because the salt does not transmit the heat very well. And so they would put a whole bunch of salt and set an oven on top of it so that when it got very hot, it would not destroy what was underneath the salt. The problem is, of course, when you do this for a while, the salt ends up picking up stuff from the oven and all this different stuff, and eventually you have to get rid of it. So what do you do with it? You scoop it all up and you throw it on the road, because if there's salt on the road and people stomp on it, then grass doesn't grow, and so you've got a nice clear road. And that's all it's good for now. It's lost its flavor. Probably didn't lose its flavor, but you wouldn't want the flavor it has because of all the stuff it's picked up. But you toss it out, and you're saying, okay, it's now worthless. So we're the salt of the earth, but if we're not actually acting like salt, if we're not preserving people from evil, if we're not making them thirsty for the gospel, then we're worthless. We're going to be thrown out. And he said, we're light. We're like light. He says, light shines and allows you to see the truth. If I turned off all of these lights, you wouldn't be able to read stuff. You wouldn't see very much. It's dark. If it was the middle of the day, it would still be dark because we're downstairs. We're not where there are windows to let the light in from the sun. So we need light to see what we're doing. It must be held up, the gospel must be held up like a city on a hill. If you're going along and you're trying to find where you're going, and you're going to this city that's on a hill, eventually you see it far away. And you know, go that way, get near it. The first time I ever went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, we had left Tucson, where my family lived, and I had driven most of the day to get to Albuquerque. And as I came over the hill, people had told me, when you do this, suddenly you'll see this thing just light up because it's the city of Albuquerque. It was amazing. It was. That's exactly what happened. I came over a hill, and bam, it was all this light. And it was like, okay, now I know where I'm going. It cannot be hidden or it's useless. Now, we sometimes put like a little lampshade on something because it's too bright and we're controlling it. But if you put it under a bowl or under a basket, particularly back then all they had was candles, it would cut down the light to almost nothing. There was a time in this country where everybody had oil lamps, but if you trimmed it back, then this tiny little flame, it wouldn't get much light. You want it to be up in full size, and you don't want it to be hidden. You want everybody to see it. That's what the gospel is like. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs to see it. They need to be drawn to it. If you put it on a stand, you can set it in the middle of even a candle. You can set it in the middle of a room, and it'll light up most of the room. We need to let our light shine and draw others to Jesus. That's what he wants from us. But then he addresses why he's here in the first place. And this is the heart of the message of the Gospels, all four of them. He's not here to do away with the Jewish system. He was here to fulfill it. The Jews had laws. And the law is the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And it tells you what you need to do and how you need to do it. And it's rules for life. But Jesus was accused of trying to create a different system. They were constantly saying, this man says not to follow the laws of Moses. And he continuously said, that's not true. I'm not telling you not to fall. And he says, even in actually in the word that's written, is it's not a jot or a tittle. A jot is the dot on top of an I, and a tittle is if you cross the T. Okay, even a stroke like that cannot pass away from the law until the kingdom actually comes. And then you don't need it anymore because it's the kingdom and everybody's doing the right thing anyway. So he said, what I'm here for is I'm here to explain to you what the law says and the law means. And a part of the law was what was called the sacrificial system. There was a sacrifice you had to make for almost anything. And the reason God did this, we're pretty sure, is because he's saying, if you sin, we want you to know how serious sin is. When you sin, something has to die. Sin costs something its life. Okay? Now, every year, they had a lamb who would be killed. And they would take its blood, and they would go in to the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could do this. Only once a year could he do it. He goes in and he pours the blood on the mercy seat of God. You must expect that after a while it got kind of messy in there. But at any rate, every year he would do that. Now, Jesus was our Passover lamb. When they killed him, he died for everybody. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but not Jesus. Okay? He says, we have to, the wages of sin is death, but he had no sin. So what's his wages? Why does he die? He didn't. He died for all of us. See, I can't die for you because I'm already dying for me. You can't die for me because you're already dying for me, for you. But Jesus didn't die for himself at all. And not only that, he came back when it was all over. And as Mike Warnke used to say, he went to hell, got all the keys, went to heaven, and set up a key shop. Jesus did not destroy the sacrificial system. He just was the ultimate sacrifice, so you don't ever need it anymore. He's already paid it all. So all we have to do is trust in him and his sacrifice. So what does this all mean to us? We need to draw other people to Jesus. We need to have people who say, I want to be like that. We need to have people who will say, when I need prayer, I know who I'm going to. We need to show it to them. We need to live our lives in such a manner that people are drawn to Jesus and the gospel. We need to fulfill the law by accepting Jesus' sacrifice. You see, he made the sacrifice, but it only counts if you take it. It's the old example that I used to say, that if I have a present for you, and I hold it out and say, this is a present for you, you can go, that's wonderful, and walk away. But you don't have it then. I still got it in my hand. It's only a present if you take it. And then open it up and say, okay, thank you very much. I like this. Except for Pat. She goes, oh, this is wonderful. Puts it in a box and never wears it again. Do not buy jewelry for Pat. She just doesn't do jewelry. Anyway, so we need to fulfill the law by accepting the sacrifice that Jesus did to fulfill the entire sacrificial system. We need to seek what God really wants for us. As Henry Blackaby says, we need to find out what God is doing and then go join him in doing it. We have to understand this is not rules. This is love. Jesus showed up and he said, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. Now you may not like it, but that's not really rules. That's just God saying, this is what's best for you. I know what's best for you and you don't. We do this as parents all the time to our kids. Okay? That's the way it works. And once again, the Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people had all these rules. 608 commandments. Most of them were made up out of thin air. You had the Ten Commandments that came from God. You had kosher that came from God, but Jesus later on said that it's not what goes into you that makes you unclean, it's what comes out. Thus, John says, thus, having made all foods clean. Well, why did God do this in the first place? He did it because back then, if you ate crustaceans or anything in water that did not have scales and fins, it's bottom feeding. It could be bad. It's like eating clams when there's a red tide. It'll kill you. Well, back then, they didn't have all the science of when can you eat it and when can't you. By this time, they had learned. By this time, they had learned what it is about pork that'll make you sick. And they knew how to get past it. So, Jesus is saying, it's not the food. God did that just to keep you healthy. It's what comes out of you. When you are speaking badly and when you're acting, you know, wrongly, that's what makes you unclean. The other one, as we were saying earlier, is the Sabbath. Okay? If you read in the Hebrew, it's very interesting. It doesn't say the Sabbath. It says you need every week to have a Sabbath. And then Jesus is saying the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is there because you need to rest one day. You can't work yourself into the dirt. You have to take a day once a week and rest. We're now back to 2 days a week out of the... And the reason for that is because the Jews and the Christians had this big argument about which one, and they just threw up their hands and said, okay, I'll take both. Not a problem. Which really irritates the Muslims because their day is Friday. But strange, strange stuff. But at any rate, it's not the rules that do it. It's your heart. Have you given your heart to the Lord? Are you trying to follow Jesus? We've had people in this church who spent a lot of time trying to follow Jesus and having a very difficult time of it. And yet, little by little by little, they got closer. Until it's come to the point where now they don't yell at God anymore when something goes wrong. They actually say, okay, Lord, what's up? What do you want? Let me fix this somehow. And God, in his love, says, okay, I want this. And they just go do it. And we have a lot of people who have been involved in that. Liz Like is like that. We've had a number of people have been like that. We actually learned that the Lord would tell us that somebody had come here and we're doing the right thing because they would say, we feel very comfortable. If we make them feel comfortable, then they will be open to the Lord. They will see what he wants and they'll go do it. And so that's what we need to be like. Not rules, love. Let's pray. Lord, We thank you that we're here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and go with us. Make this church your church and make us your people and help us to be the salt that makes people thirsty for the gospel and preserves them from the evil, and the light that draws them in the way they should go. And help us, if we don't have answers, to go to you and find out what the answer is, and to lead the people that we're ministering to do the same thing. Lord, we love you. Help us to be good servants. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.